For us, though, it's really about growth of the community and our specific objectives. So it's about growth of the community and the interaction that takes place once they're there. So we look at growth of the community post-podcast. We look at the discussions that evolve from the podcast. Do people ask questions? Do they comment to the forums? Does it spawn off discussions?
This is podtech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Jones, and today my guest is Kelly Wagman, who's head of customer relationship marketing for Juniper Networks. And Marketing Voices has introduced the idea of podcasting. So today what I'm going to be doing is talking to Kelly, who works for Juniper, obviously, and what she's done with podcasting and how she made the decision to start doing podcasting and really get into a lot of the ins and outs of what she's learned about it. So in light of full disclosure, Juniper is a customer of Podtext, but what I really wanted to do was make sure that Kelly just gave us a real candor about her experience and not focus so much on the fact that it was a client of Podtext. So let's just get started from the beginning. How did you decide to get into podcasting?
Well, so at least specific to the customer relationship programs, which, the podcasting component of that is called Sound Off. It's really closely tied with the development of our technical community, which is called JNet. And SoundOff is intended, it's designed to bring the customers and the users of the products closer to the people that design and develop and support the products. And so what we do with SoundOff is we create podcasts that are really driven by the community. The community tells us the topics that they want to hear about, the people that they want to hear it from. They can even suggest the questions that we ask. We do that right now in the form of email or forum postings, but we're ultimately working on putting up a Skype mailbox so that they can record the questions in their own natural voice, making the podcast even more interactive. So we think of it sometimes like a radio request line. We don't play a favorite oldie, but we do find the engineer or the executive or the subject matter expert for a topic and get that person and bring them in to address their questions.
So how did you convince management to do this?
Well, so it really wasn't so much of a convincing management issue. Once they decided that the community was important, it was really education about how you grow a community as opposed to podcasting as a separate discussion. One of the things that's important for growing a community is to have subject matter experts from the company. It's also important to have regular events that bring people back in and encourage participation. And podcasting is a very natural extension of that community environment. So it wasn't really so much convincing them about podcasting, it was convincing them about community. And once that decision was made, podcasting was a natural fit.
So have you seen that podcasting has really increased the community?
Yes, absolutely. We what we do is we try and podcast at least twice a month, and because of Juniper's broad subject areas and many product lines and product families and areas of the network that we touch, it really means that we need to talk to 2 to 3 subject matter experts each time we podcast. So that means that we do something between 4 and 6 a month, and ultimately, that's what brings people back into the community. We send out a newsletter and let them know that this is taking place. People can go in and listen to the podcast, and then they can go back into the community. Our experts that podcast with us, they can go back into the community and post questions for them, and these experts then agree to answer for a period of about 3 weeks. And so that drives the participation in the community after they've heard the content. So the answer is yes. It's driven the growth in our community. Let's see, it's doubled since we've started podcasting.
And how do you know people are really listening?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Certainly, you know, there's all of that information about downloads and how many downloads. And our executive audiences and some of our subject matter experts get really jazzed up on that. They want to hear that they had 20,000 downloads or 40,000 downloads because, quite frankly, who has white papers that get downloaded 40,000 times? So that's a nice statistic. For us, though, it's really about growth of the community and our specific objectives. So it's about growth of the community and the interaction that takes place once they're there. So we look at growth of the community post-podcast. We look at the discussions that evolve from the podcast. Do people ask questions? Do they comment to the forums? Does it spawn off discussions? And then finally, and really quite frankly, I think the best thing that we do is we survey frequently. We, because it's a community, because we have a locked audience that's kind of already said that they're interested and loyal, we get a very high response rate on our surveys. We survey them frequently on the podcast. Are they listening? Are they subscribed? Why? Why not? Where do they listen? What topics do they want to cover? What do they think is good? What do they think is bad? And we do that, every 3 to 4 months.
So how do you actually go about surveying?
We use an online survey tool and post it into the community. And it's indicating that somewhere around 80% of our audience listens to at least some of the podcasts.
So what's worked the best, really the best, and then ultimately what's worked the worst in podcasting?
That's a good question. What doesn't work for us? We've had such a success in the number of downloads. Remember when I said that people love to hear that 40,000 user number? Sometimes we get people that hear that number and they really want to leverage the tools in ways that are completely inappropriate for our audience. They really want to regurgitate data sheets into the podcast, and it just completely turns our audience off. So, given that our intent is not to just grow the subscriber base, but to grow the community, we really have to be the voice of the people who don't want that kind of content in delivered to them, right? So that's one of the things that really doesn't work for us, is delivering the wrong content at the wrong times. And, it's to a certain amount a product of success, because people hear 40,000 times, and they know that their data sheets aren't getting read 40,000 times, so they want to get the message out. But what's worked best? And, there's been a lot of trial and error on this. There have been lots of things that we think we've got right now. Certainly getting the right subjects and the right content matter experts. And asking the community really ensures that we're getting the right subjects. If they tell me that they want to hear about MPLS, or they want to hear about a specific networking protocol, or they want to hear about specific emerging threats, I get that direct from them. So getting the subject matter right is important.
But what about the guest? I mean, so as we as we really think about the kind of people that play well on a podcast, what's your feeling from having done this so much?
Well, so that was the next thing is even the best speakers really need some coaching. But so I forget about trying to find the best speakers, and I look for the best subject matter experts. But remember, my audience is very technical. They're very passionate. They're very interested in hearing from people that develop the products. So I'm not looking necessarily for the best speaker, but I am looking for the best subject matter expert. And then I do as much coaching and preparing of the best subject matter expert in order to give them a good way of delivering their message, right? In that I make them sound as good as they can, but that's not really my goal. My goal is to get the right subject matter expert.
So has podcasting really replaced any other thing that you were doing, that you are now doing podcasting instead of something, or not?
Well, it isn't for me from the customer relationship standpoint. The customer relationship program is relatively new to Juniper. It's only about a year old, and so podcasting is really just an extension of that beginning of that program. There are other areas inside Juniper where it's replacing some things, but I don't have the expertise to talk too much about them. I know that it's replaced some things that we've done in terms of case studies. I know that it's replaced some things that we've done in terms of training. It's a great training venue.
So tell me a little bit about that, because I think people would be interested about the training aspect.
Well, and again, this is not my, you know, this is not my current area, but in past history, I've been in product management and product marketing, and it's a great opportunity to take very targeted information and take those subject matter experts and have them deliver 15 minutes on how to better utilize, how to configure properly, how to integrate technology products to sales, to partners, and even to the customer base. I think it's a format that people can consume, and as long as you don't try and do a complete brain load dump of how to use the product, but instead focus in on key initiatives or key topics that are of high interest, how to pull this kind of report, how to configure it, how to integrate it with this specific product, that as long as you can do that in the right amount of time, I think it's a great mechanism for delivering that kind of information. And then certainly you have an audience that's very interested in that information and so inclined to subscribe to it. And that's, you know, obviously the other appeal of podcasting.
So in summary, you'll just plan to keep using it and using it in essentially the community build way that you've done.
Well, one of the things that we're looking at doing, you know, from a training or how-to standpoint, is we're looking at beginning to talk to our technical support audience. So far, most of our podcasts have been about thought leading, new ideas, directions, strategies, what we're doing on standards bodies, those kinds of things. But as this has really taken off, and remembering that our audience is technical users of the product, one of the things that we're looking at doing is talking to our support engineers and our support organization on those kinds of things that we just talked about, which is, you know, how do you better configure it? What's the best practice for doing X? And just a 15-minute brain dump from the guy who sees the most problems and can give you the advanced methodologies, right? And so we're looking at doing that and, you know, expect to deliver in the next couple of months.
Great. Well, Kelly, thank you very much for being on Marketing Voices. So my guest today has been Kelly Wagman, who's head of customer relationship marketing for Juniper Networks. And again, Kelly, I thank you.
Well, thanks for having me.
And until next week, for all my listeners, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.